Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, He who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. Verses 25 through 37, Luke chapter 10. Father, thank you, Lord, for the wisdom, the insight, and the understanding that you teach us through this powerful parable about being faithful disciples, disciples that live life with your heart, disciples that live life walking in your love, your compassion, your mercy, and your grace each and every day. Father, with more and more with every passing day, empower us to be believers that are walking in your love and compassion, with eyes to see and ears to hear in a world full of people that have been hurt, beat up, and left on the side of the road for dead. Lord, help us to be vessels through which you can reach and accomplish your will daily in the way we carry ourselves, in the words we say, the things we do, the things we touch, and the way we live. Empower us to be people who walk in your love continually for your glory. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're continuing our campaign with the great ministry of Preborn. Again, it's a ministry that's working throughout our nation with hundreds of Christian pregnancy centers across the country, providing life-saving services such as ultrasound. Preborn and American Family Radio are asking you to partner with us to help moms to choose life. Specifically, remember, the ultrasound allows the mom to hear her baby's heartbeat and to see the precious life that's inside of her. And time again, when that does happen, 80% of moms choose to keep their babies. And so if you'd like to get involved, remember, your gift of $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound, giving the mom the opportunity to choose life for her baby. $140 provides 5 free ultrasound sessions, reaching 5 women with the message of life. You can call in to make a donation towards that very important project with Preborn. 1-877-616-2396. Again, that's 1-877-616-2396. Or you can donate online at AFR.net. Again, that's at AFR.net. As always, it's a privilege to have you listening in. And, you know, I want to remind you that we very much desire your prayers here at the American Family Association, for your prayers that God would anoint us afresh to be the ministry he would have us to be, and for him to use us more and more for the spread of the gospel and to be salt, to help encourage the church to be salt and light in a world that desperately needs it. So we very much appreciate your prayers. Today we're looking at a topic, specifically the topic of living a life on mission. Again, living a life on mission. And as we look at this topic, I want to remind you that all of us as believers are called to be faithful disciples who are living a life in obedience and following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Keep in mind, every believer is called to be a disciple. And, you know, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, it tells us the Great Commission. And I want you to keep in mind, every believer needs to understand that all of us are to be involved in the work of carrying out the Great Commission. It's critically important that we not think, well, that's for pastors and preachers and missionaries to do, but I'm just a regular believer. Well, the fact is, every believer is called to be a disciple and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, one who is listening to God and carrying out his work. So specifically in Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse 16, it says this, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.'" Again, that was verses 16 to 20, Matthew chapter 28. Keep in mind, every believer is called to be a disciple and to make disciples. Again, the Great Commission is to go into all the world and make disciples. So first and foremost, you and I are first to be disciples. In other words, we're to disciple or work on our, we're to disciple ourselves. In other words, we're to walk in such a way that we're growing up and growing in our understanding of how to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and how to become a more fruitful vessel in the hands of the Lord as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. A disciple is one who's not only accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of his or her life, but also he or she is following the Lord Jesus Christ, living a life in close fellowship relationship with Christ, living to do the work and the will of God. All of us are called to live a life on mission. God has work for each of us to do every single day of our lives. That's why it's tragic when you have a believer that seems to feel like, well, that's for the quote-unquote professionals. Again, the preachers, the missionaries, and that sort of thing. Every believer, though, is called to be a disciple, so it's important that we understand that and understand what that means. Now, keep in mind, I want to share with you real briefly once again that you can summarize three basic building blocks of the life of a disciple. Now, I summarize them this way with this understanding that you could break this down in other ways, but this, I think, is a good, concise way to summarize three basic building blocks for the life of a disciple. And I summarize them using the word pro, P-R-O. P refers to prayer. Every disciple is called to have a vibrant prayer life where in prayer we seek God in prayer every single day and spend significant time one-on-one with the Heavenly Father seeking him in prayer. R of the word pro refers to reading. We're to read and meditate on the Word of God consistently. I regularly challenge believers to set a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible each and every day. Again, I would challenge you to read and meditate on 3 chapters a day. That's a good basic spiritual diet. And of course, if you think, well, that's not enough for me, and you want more, wonderful. You cannot overeat God's word each and every day. So every believer is called as a disciple to be one who reads and meditates on the word of God. And O refers to obedience. We're not just to read the Bible to say we've read it. We're to live it as well. We're to obey that which we read. The Word of God is a guidebook for life to teach us how to know the Lord Jesus Christ and how to follow him, how to live a life honoring him, a life where we imitate the Lord Jesus Christ and walk out the calling that God has placed on our lives. So as we look at the topic of living a life on mission, remember all of us are called to be on the mission of carrying out God's specific call and will for our lives. Every believer is a gift to the body of Christ. Every believer has gifts, strengths, and abilities that will bless those as he or she simply lives out the call of God on their lives. So keep in mind, if you're wondering, well, do I have a calling or do I have spiritual gifts or gifts in my life? Every believer has them, but a part of your journey is to discover what those gifts are and to use them according to God's will. Again, every believer has a unique calling. In fact, it's unique to the point where no two believers have the exact same calling in life, of course. Yet, it's important that we walk with God in such a way that we allow the Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide and mold and shape us to know and to walk out whatever that calling is. So, it's a journey. And all of us should be learning more and more how to more fully follow the Lord Jesus Christ each and every day. So those three steps help us to know what some of the basic building blocks are in our life as disciples to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, PRO, PRO, our prayer, developing a vibrant prayer life. Two, developing a vibrant life of reading and studying the Word of God. And three, developing a life of obeying what you learn. You and I are to live that as disciples, but also we're to seek to teach and encourage others to do the same. Now, to every believer listening, keep in mind, it's important that you understand these basic truths, but also that you're seeking to encourage others. Now, a question you and I need to ask ourselves is, who have I shared the gospel with today? And also, who am I discipling today as well? You and I, again, we're to have a lifestyle of being a disciple and carrying out the work of a disciple as well. So one of the suggestions and encouragements I would give to you today is, if you don't keep gospel tracts of some sort with you, I would encourage you to get a supply and carry them with you everywhere you go. Ask God to guide you in giving them out as He would have you to give them out. And also pray for boldness. Pray for courage to do what God would have you to do. Because remember, the fact is, we're in a world where most people are not saved. We live in a world where most people are on their way to hell. Now, that's not a fun topic at all, obviously. But as believers who are part of the body of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, remember, we're called as the church to carry out the Great Commission. And the reality is it's important that our great task is to do what He's called us to do, to go out and make disciples. We're to go into all the world and do that. We're to carry out in our world the work of being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, because even though making that the priority that God calls us to might make you seem a little odd or strange, don't worry about that. Be willing to be odd or strange for Jesus when the need arises, because remember, you and I are in the business of helping people to come to be pulled off the road on their way to hell, on the road to heaven. I think of the very powerful scripture found in the Gospel of Luke chapter 16, which very clearly draws out a powerful story about two men who lived and they died. And one went to be with the Lord, to spend eternity with the Lord, Lazarus. And the other one, the rich man, he went to hell. Now, we're going to start to share this, and we may have to pick up on the other side of the break. But this is Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Well, we'll end at verse 26. We'll pick up on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're today looking at the topic, Living a Life on Mission. We'll be right back.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. Only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Sing hallelujah. Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
The music of Mercy Me, I Can Only Imagine. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic of living a life on mission. Every believer is called to be a disciple, one who is walking in close fellowship relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ every single day, who's listening to the Lord and seeking to carry out the call of God upon his life, his or her life. And a part of that call is you and I are called to be faithful witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, believers who share the gospel as a lifestyle, and also who are making disciples. And so we were reading the passage. We'll pick up once again at the beginning of the passage, specifically Luke chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, Remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, that they also come, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to him from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Verses 19 through 31, Luke chapter 16. And before we share further about the passage, I want to share with you a powerful parable about the need for the church to stay on task, to stay on the mission God has called us to, that is specifically carrying out the Great Commission of going into the world and making disciples. And it's simply entitled, A Parable of a Lighthouse. On a dangerous seacoast where shipwrecks often occur, there was once a crude little life-saving station. The building was just a hut, and there was only one boat, but the few devoted members kept a constant watch over the sea, and with no thought for themselves, they went out day and night tirelessly searching for the lost. Many lives were saved by this wonderful little station, so that it became famous. Some of those who were saved and various others in the surrounding areas wanted to become associated with the station and give of their time and money and effort for the support of its work. New boats were bought and new crews were trained. The little life-saving station grew. Some of the new members of the life-saving station were unhappy that the building was so crude and poorly equipped, so they felt that a more comfortable place should be provided as the first refuge of those saved from the sea. So they replaced the emergency cots with beds and put better furniture in an enlarged building. Now the life-saving station became a popular gathering place for its members, and they redecorated it beautifully and furnished it as a sort of club. Less of the members were now interested in going to sea on life-saving missions, so they hired lifeboat crews to do this work. The mission of life-saving was still given lip service, but most were too busy or lacked the necessary commitment to take part in the life-saving activities personally. About this time, a large ship was wrecked off the coast, and the hired crews brought in boatloads of cold, wet, and half-drowned people. They were dirty and sick, and some of them had different color skin, and some spoke a strange language, and the beautiful new club was considerably messed up. So the property committee immediately had a shower built outside the club where victims of shipwreck could be cleaned up before coming inside. At the next meeting, there was a split in the club membership. Most of the members wanted to stop the club's life-saving activities, seeing that they were unpleasant and a hindrance to the normal life pattern of the club. But some members insisted that life-saving was their primary purpose and pointed out that they were still called a life-saving station. But those individuals were finally voted down and told that if they wanted to save the life of all the various kinds of people who were shipwrecked in those waters, they could begin their own life-saving station down the coast. And that's what they did. As the years went by, the new station experienced the same changes and series of events that had occurred at the old life-saving station. They evolved into a club, and yet another life-saving station was founded, and another, and another. If you visit the seacoast today, you will find a number of exclusive clubs along that shore. Shipwrecks are still frequent in those waters, only now most of the people drown. Again, a parable simply entitled, A Parable of a Lighthouse, author unknown, but adapted by Steve Rudd. Well, again, a powerful parable that points out a very important part of the need for us as the church to stay on task, to remember what the Great Commission is that's given to every church, to the church all over the world, and to individual believers. All of us are called to go into all the world and make disciples. We're called to do that collectively and individually. We're to make disciples. That is, we're to live the life of a disciple, and we're to seek to make disciples as well, helping them to come to know Christ, and then helping them to come to helping them to come to learn how to walk with the Lord as well. Well, as we read from Luke chapter 16, again, a powerful story shared by the Lord Jesus Christ, in which he shares the fate of two different individuals, one who knew him when they died and the other one who did not. And of course, it tells of how the Lazarus knew the Lord. He was poor, didn't have much in this life, but at least he knew Jesus when he died. And he died and went to be with the Lord. But sadly, the rich man didn't know the Lord. He was well known. He made money. He dressed nice. He ate nice. But God was not on his agenda. He wasn't saved when he died. And he died and sadly went straight to hell. Well, what a sad statement that is, to think that people die just throughout the day, every day. The reality is, on average, 3 people die every second. Somewhere around 180 people on average all over the world die every minute. The average number of people that die every hour in the world is about 11,000 people. And on average, all over the world, somewhere in the vicinity of approximately 250,000, that is 250,000 people, die every 24 hours. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's a lot of dying. And a lot of people are leaving this world every day. In fact, people are pouring out of this world. And the sad reality is, most of them do not know Jesus Christ. You and I as believers are to be stirred with a heart of compassion and love, to want to live a lifestyle of being on mission, a lifestyle of sharing the gospel as we go. And not only sharing the gospel as people come to know the Lord, we're to do our part, that which God would have us to do, to help others grow up in their faith and grow strong and begin to walk with the Lord as well. It's critical that you and I know what our purpose is, our calling, that is, amongst other things, making disciples. We're to be disciples, and we're to make disciples as well. Note in the story, as Jesus shares, the rich man sadly ends up in hell. And he has 2 requests. His first request is just for a little bit of relief. Notice he asks just for a drip of water to cool his burning tongue. And sadly, he couldn't even get a dip of water to go on his tongue to cool it. You know, now, of course, the fact is, in the heat of summer, when you're out in the hot, you'd like a large glass of ice water, something to cool you off. Sadly, in hell, he just wanted just a tiny bit of water to give him a little bit of relief, and he couldn't even get that. But notice his second request, a very powerful one with a powerful truth behind it. His second request is, he asks Father Abraham to send Lazarus back to his father's house, because this man, the rich man, had 5 brothers that Lazarus could basically preach to them as well, so that they don't come to this place called hell. Now, what a powerful truth. This rich man has died and gone to hell, but he's very evangelism-minded in hell. He wants someone to go back and preach to his brothers so that they can be saved and not come to this terrible, terrible place. In other words, he genuinely cares about his family back at home, and he doesn't want them to come to this terrible place called hell. So he's longing for someone to go back and preach. Now remember, he never got saved himself. In his lifetime, he never bothered with the Lord, but now he believes in God, and he believes that the place where he is so terrible, he doesn't want anyone that he cares about to come to this terrible place called hell. But sadly, for the rich man, it's too late. It's too late. Sadly, he can't be saved himself, nor can he go back and send someone to his family to preach to them as well. Now, a powerful lesson that we as believers need to learn from as we look at this story is, a man in hell is more evangelism-minded than many people who say they love Jesus Christ walking around in this world today. This should challenge all of us as believers to stop and think about this. Do we have a passion to help spread the gospel, to help do what we can to help spread the gospel so that we can help all the people that we know and love, our family members, to get saved? But not only them, but we want to help our co-workers on the jobs where we work to be saved, people in our neighborhood and our community, relatives, people all just doing all we can to help spread the gospel so that people can be pulled off the road on the way to hell, onto the road on the way to heaven. Again, you and I as believers need to have a compassion for the unsaved in the world, a compassion for those that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They're on their way to hell unless somehow or another they get pulled off that road. We, the church, have the responsibility of proclaiming the gospel. Let us be about our Father's business. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you give us as believers to be involved in the wonderful work of sharing the gospel with a world that is so, so lost. Lord, help us to recognize, Lord, that you give each of us the chance to be a witness. We can share our testimony. We can give out gospel tracts. We can support missions and support ministries that help spread the gospel and do our part to not only help them to come to know Christ, but once they're saved, we can help them to grow and help them to learn how to become people, believers of prayer, who walk in prayer, who walk with you in prayer, believers who read and study the Word, believers who obey the Word. Help us daily more and more to be faithful, to be about your business of sharing the gospel and making disciples. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking today at the topic, living a life on mission. We'll be right back.
From darkness to light, anytime temptation comes and someone stands to fight, anytime somebody lives to serve and not be served, I know
God is on the move.
Seventh one down. God is on the move. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic of living a life on mission, and we're wanting to challenge and encourage every believer listening to be involved in the work God has called you to. And remember, every believer has a unique calling from God, and it's important for us to walk with God in such a way that we come more and more and better to know, to discern that call, and to live it out. I invite you to look with us in the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, a powerful, a simple story from the life of Jesus with some important lessons for every disciple. Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had her sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister's left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Verses 38 through 42, Luke chapter 10. A powerful story and an interesting story that teaches us many important truths about following the Lord Jesus Christ. In the story, of course, you have the two sisters, Martha and Mary. They invite Jesus into their home. But notice Martha is doing what, if you can picture this, Martha probably cooking, cleaning, doing that sort of thing. Whereas Mary, her sister, is sitting at Jesus' feet listening to him. At some point, Martha realizes Mary is not helping her and she has a house full of guests. And she quickly becomes pretty upset with her sister. And she goes to the Lord and she doesn't even speak to her sister. She speaks to Jesus and she sort of scolds Jesus. "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." But notice both the scripture itself and the Lord Jesus Christ help us understand the correct perspective with which to understand this story. Note this specifically. Verse 40 says, Martha was distracted. To be distracted is to be pulled away from the more important thing. Well, of course, Martha's, again, doing probably the cleaning, the cooking, and all that sort of thing. Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet. Well, notice after Martha scolds Jesus and wants him to tell her sister to come help her, Jesus' response is simple. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." In other words, Jesus clearly points out that Mary is doing the wiser thing under the circumstances. What is Mary doing? She's sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to him, learning from him, growing in her walk with the Lord. Now, by no means is this passage a theology as to why you shouldn't cook or clean. Not at all. It's pointing out the very important truth that every believer is called to make it a lifestyle, to where we have a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, what does that mean? It's a lifestyle of walking in intimate, close fellowship with the Lord Jesus every single day. In other words, remember, life can be so, so busy. It can be so busy that we can leave off the most important things. One of the high priorities of a serious disciple is your prayer life, developing your prayer life to where you're seeking God, you're listening to God, you're running after God as you learn how to seek him in prayer every single day, spending much time praising and worshiping him, talking to him, asking for his guidance, his wisdom, his help, to help you to be a more effective follower of him. So your prayer life is very important. So a part of living a life sitting at the feet of Jesus is a life of having a strong and vibrant prayer life where you commune with God every single day in prayer. Another important part of living a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus is a lifestyle of spending time reading and meditating on the Word of God. Remember, when you read God's Word, it's a form of prayer. It's a form of communing with God. Remember, prayer is talking to God and it's listening to God. Well, when you're reading God's Word, it's heavy on the listening. Remember, a huge reality in the life of every disciple is living a life of listening to God. Now, you know, a number of times in scripture, Jesus said a phrase, either this phrase or a similar phrase. He says, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." Why did Jesus say that so many times? Because the reality is, even amongst the people who say they know and love the Lord, sometimes we're listening, but we're really not listening. We say we're listening, but the fact is God talks to all of us every day, primarily by his word. But you know, you can read the word of God, but not really hear what God is saying. For example, we shared earlier the story of the Good Samaritan. Well, at the end of that powerful story, that too is found in Luke chapter 10, the Good Samaritan story. At the end, Jesus says, "Go and do likewise." What is he saying? He's saying, go and live a life of love and compassion like the Samaritan in that parable. God is saying that to every believer. But you know, you and I need to honestly ask ourselves the question, am I listening to Jesus? Because I can read that, but not really pay a whole lot of attention to it. On the other hand, if I decide I want to do what Jesus says, that means I'm supposed to be living sacrificially every day, living to be a blessing to those around us as the Spirit of God directs me to. That's every day. That's to be a lifestyle. And as we're looking today at the topic of living a life on mission, that's what we're all called to do. But the reality is we can read God's word and really not hear what God is saying. And time again, sadly, that so often happens. We live in a world where even today you think of, for example, the Bible said, one of the Ten Commandments says, you shall not commit adultery. Yet you have many people that say they love Jesus and may go to church on a regular basis, but may feel like being involved sexually with someone they're not married to is no big deal. Well, then that's someone who's not hearing what Jesus has said. We look at many other areas where people who say they love the Lord ignore the word of God or try to twist it and so that it says something other than what God has said. Again, we're not hearing the word of God when we ignore what he clearly counsels and tells us to do. We think of also one of the commandments says, you shall not murder. Yet sadly, we live in a world where lots of people who say they love the Lord Jesus are quick to say, well, I'm against abortion, but I believe in a woman's right to choose. They're not hearing what God has clearly stated. Don't take innocent life. My challenge to every listener is to understand we do not need to read the word of God and then twist it or ignore it or try to make it say something it doesn't say. We're to hear God's word and obey it. That's what a disciple does. We hear God's word and we do what he says. And so we're all called to live a lifestyle of, well, to put it this way, we're called to live with a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. A Mary kind of heart is a heart where we live a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus, spending much time in prayer daily, much time reading and studying the word, and much time living what we learn from the word of God. The world is full of people that are hurt, that are beat up and left on the side of the road. We are called to be God's vessels of compassion through which he can reach and share the gospel with those who aren't saved, but also vessels through which he can reach to touch those that are hurting. They're hurting people all around us. And you and I need to have eyes to see and ears to hear and mainly listen to God to find out what he would have us to do. There's so much work to be done in the world, so much ministry out there. Every believer is called to full-time ministry in the truest sense of the word, in that we're called to give our lives doing what God would have us to do. We're all called to live a life on mission. What is that mission? Listening to God and doing what he's telling us to do. And remember this, to follow Christ faithfully is to be a life that will appear radical to the world. If your life doesn't look radical in any way, then you or I probably aren't following like we should, because the reality is to follow Jesus will look strange to the world, because the world wants you to fit in and look like them. And now, obviously, you know, as believers, you might think, well, the church is not going to fit into the world. Well, sadly, you have many people who say they're a part of the church, but they're trying to fit in. And in many instances, they don't look much, if any, different from the world. You and I are called to be salt and light. So we're to be vessels through which God can reach and get his work done every single day. So we're all called to be involved in the wonderful work of the spread of the gospel. Again, part of that involves sharing your testimony, how you came to know the Lord, sharing how God has answered your prayer, sharing what God is doing in your life. Also, it involves giving out gospel tracts. It involves many times supporting the outreach evangelism and discipleship work of the local church you're a part of and supporting missions that may be missions in our nation or missions across the seas. All that's a part of being involved in the wonderful work of the spread of the gospel. But also, are you discipling someone? Are you actively helping someone to grow in their faith? And are you living in such a way that daily you're encouraging others? Do you ask people sometimes, how can I pray for you? Or how can I encourage you in your prayer life? Or ask them how their prayer life is going. Ask them how their Bible reading is going. Why is that important? Because that's a part of the life of a disciple. And the reality is lots of people struggle when it comes to prayer. Lots of people struggle in the study of God's word. Those are critical building blocks in the life of a disciple. So we are to have a lifestyle of encouraging one another along these lines. So as our time draws to an end, our challenge is for you to be encouraged to know that all of us are called to be disciples, and we're called to make disciples as well. I want to continue to remind you that if you'd like to email us to get the some of the discipleship tools that we provide, please do. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. One of the ways whereby we live a life of listening to God better and better is as we really develop our prayer life. And so prayer tool that we provide is a great tool to help strengthen and build a stronger prayer life. So again, the email jparker@afa.net to simply email us and let us know you want to get the Kingdom Prayers tool, but also other discipleship materials that we provide. We'd be glad to share them with you as well. Those that encourage you in your time of reading and meditating on the Word of God, remember, get them, use them yourself, use them in your own family discipleship. And parents, we're to be discipling our children every day. But also share them with family and kinfolk, and share them with fellow church members, share them with folks at work, because you can email them to them or make hard copies. But we all can use encouragement in our walk with the Lord. We all can use encouragement in the area of prayer. We all can use encouragement in the area of reading and meditating on the Word of God. We all can use encouragement in obedience as well. Share areas in your life where you see God using you and working in your life. We're all called to be givers. We're called to be people that bless others, again, as a lifestyle. You and I are called to be faithful disciples each and every day. Lord, thank you for the opportunity you give us to live a life on mission, a life where every day we're vessels through which you can reach and accomplish your will. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of prayer. Anoint us afresh with the spirit that would encourage us to become diligent students of your word. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of obedience. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, my email is jparker@afa.net if you'd like to email us to get some of the prayer tools or the discipleship tools we provide. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.